Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We're seeing a big expansion, and really what it is, it's a migration where you have people migrate, animals migrate, you know, flocks, birds, ducks, whatever. I mean, what happens is when you're at one place and you begin to spread or go to a different place. And so migration, you can go to the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, and we actually have a segment that we did about how migration's taking place with Islam. And Islam's mm-hmm. beginning to migrate where just through migration alone and birthing, but mostly migration, that the populations are changing in nations. I believe they're expecting in a very short period of time that a Europe outside of the gospel of God being preached there mm-hmm. would be an Islamic nation. And the birth rate is so low that the migration rate is so high.
Right. Non-sustainable.
It's non-sustainable. And then you have, you know, people just coming to your nation and this particular people that we're talking about, Muslims, are, you know, following whether it's liberal, moderate, or
conservative
or radical, you know, which is different levels of belief of the same saying that Muhammad is a messenger of God, which says, by the way, just so you know, as a Christian, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And
that's
that he has to come
say.
Back and apologize. Yeah, that's what they
yeah.
say. And that's what Muhammad said mm-hmm. in the Quran. And it's a lot of things. And you can find out, you can compare the two side by side on the VFN Torch. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. And don't just talk out your head, you know, out of emotions. Go to the Torch and actually read it. Read the Quran. And it's got just not the whole Quran, not the whole Bible. But you have one scripture on the left column and one scripture on the right column. So you can compare the two, what's being said right there. And so when you start seeing that in the natural sense, you know, you can start saying, hey, well, that means it's kind of changing who we are and, you know, all these different things. First, you have to realize that Muslims and Christians and Hindus and Buddhists and, you know, whatever, Baptists and Catholics and
Jews.
Charismatics and Jews and, I mean, we're all human beings. We're all created in the image and the likeness of God. And God loves us, and God loves Muslims. He loves them. And but if you don't tell them this, then I think one of the most intimate terms reportedly in the Quran is that Allah is as intimate to you, as close to you as a sword at your jugular vein.
Right.
That's the most
right.
intimate, I mean, closeness of what's happening there. And so, all of a sudden, you buy into the lie that says, you know, that I guess we're just going to be an Islamic nation. I guess we're just going to be, you know, less Christians, more Muslims, yada, that kind of thing. Versus saying, you know what? God loves Muslims. We need to tell them about God. We need to tell them how much he loves them so much that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die and to pay the price for their sin. That all this works that Islam talks about and all this religion and everything of that nature, that that there's no righteousness in all those works, but in accepting Jesus Christ who paid the price for them. And listen, understand this. If you're thinking how you can win somebody to the Lord through your intellect, of course, that's, you're just wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says, you go out and let them know, preach the gospel to all nations and allow the signs that follow, you know, cast out demons, speak in tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they recover. And he says, and I'll work with you confirming my word. Realize that he will confirm his word. God loves that Muslim. God loves that man and that woman right there. And if all they have is an experience with religion, I mean, they're about to meet a living, breathing, alive, ruling God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting. You got to see things the way God sees things. Understand this, and we're always searching for his perspective and how he sees things, because we know in part and prophesy in part, but at least begin to try to seek out his viewpoint, which you can find in his word. That's, you first have to understand who God loves. And if you haven't listened to Who Does God Love, you got to listen to it and go to the VFNTV.com and click on the torch and just type in, who does God love? And you'll be really surprised. First of all, he loves you, and he loves whoever them is to you too. And but listen to it. It'll just stir your heart. I mean, I listen to that broadcast, and it just stirs my heart. It's like, that's right. And so then when people who presently seem to be Jesus haters, for example, that are coming to persecute the church, I don't know, like Saul, and you need to have faith to understand that the only reason God is allowing Saul to get close to you is so you can witness to him and that he can get saved. Because that's what happened to Saul. I mean, here's Saul going to persecute the church, you know, and you can just hunker down and go, oh, the church's going to be persecuted. Or you can be like Stephen and say, listen, I've seen the face of God. And he began to preach the gospel to the very man that was having him stoned in front of him. As a matter of fact, when you hear about Damascus today in Syria, that Paul, or which is his former name was Saul, was going to Damascus to go with a letter from the church or the temple, the leaders, that to go persecute these Christians up in Damascus and to imprison them and straighten them out. And but on his on the way to to Damascus, he encounters the one who he was about to persecute. God shows up in such a powerful way. Today, you're looking at Syria, you're looking at, you know, a radical Islam, you're looking at all these things take place in the Middle East. Don't forget that God loves the Muslim. Don't forget that. You're not gonna argue somebody or angry somebody or offend somebody, right? You just got to let them know that God loves them. And share with them, like Naeem, what we're about to talk about and been talking about. But he's on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden, God just shows up in such a powerful way that his glory manifests, and it's so bright that it just blinds him, and he falls off his donkey. You know, it's just like a persecutor on a donkey, just really, it's hard, but it's true. I mean, that's what's going on.
That's how they did it.
And all of a sudden, he hears this voice that says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you persecuting me? And he's like, Lord, Lord, you know? And so so at that encounter, you have to understand that when somebody lays hands on you, they're laying hands on Jesus. When somebody blesses you, they're blessing Jesus. When somebody curses you, they're cursing Jesus. That's what we talked about. We're going to have really soon, and we talked about it in the first hour. We're not going to have a chance to talk about it, obviously, today, but murderer. You know, murderer, love's not an option is what we're going to be talking about, because being angry with your brother, calling your brother a fool, hating your brother is puts you in a very bad place at the judgment seat. We'll be talking more about that. And God's love. And look how Jesus, what he did, he entrusted himself to him and judges justly. So if God can touch Saul, who had already stoned Stephen, had already done all these things, you know, in a zealousness for he thought was God. He thought he was doing a service to God and he was killing folks. And understand that somebody who truly is a loyal Muslim, they believe that what they're doing is for God, just like Saul believed what he was doing was for God. But in that zealousness, of course, he is a Jew. He was a Jew in regards to that. But in their heart, they're thinking, they just don't realize that that's not God's desire and that's not what God wants. They haven't yet met God. And they can through his son, Jesus Christ. And so on that road to persecute the church, which means this, it doesn't matter who's coming into your nation, what's going on. Don't clamp down your jaw. Fill your heart full with the love of God and the testimony of God. Get in the word of God. Hear things like VFN radio. Share things like VFN radio and VFN TV. And let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life, because God converted Saul on the road to persecute the church and changed his name to Paul. And sent him to a place blind, and then sent a Christian to him to pray for him where he could see again. Then God prepared him, and he wrote one half or one third,
yeah, over half of,
over the, half of the New Testament, almost approximately one half of the New Testament. And in that, understand, prior to him doing this, was he was a persecutor of the church. And of course, God told him, says, listen, get up, I've got to show you some things you must suffer for me. Things you need to go through, you're going to have to go through for me. And he's willing to go through it. And so I want you to think about, when you're thinking about this migration of Islam and how you're seeing people that follow Islam spread throughout the nation. This is a perfect time. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we not, might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the conscience clause issue is it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from Him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. There was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person.
Yes.
Another person. It's living and
active. Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but right. But God knows. You know how to speak to us, and,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just it's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah, when you abide with the Lord, like He talks about in John 15. You know, apart from abiding in Him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no,
mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. This is a perfect time on their journeys to let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life, and that as a matter of fact, listen to Zayim's testimony right here as he shares about in full how he met God, a former Muslim.
We grew up Sunni Muslims, and so we weren't radical or extremist by any means, but we were definitely conservative. We would fast during the month of Ramadan. Friday prayers were normal. My sisters would cover up.
Naeem Fazl lived in Kuwait, and he studied the Quran diligently.
We grew up learning and memorizing, actually, the Quran. I can recite passages of the Quran because there was a value in memorizing the Islamic scriptures.
While his life was grounded in the Muslim faith, a chain of events took place that set Naeem on a new spiritual journey. His older brother had an opportunity to study in the United States.
He came here, and a year later he came back and he was different. And I knew something was up. And that's when he actually told us that he was a Christian. I remember that day because I had threatened to kill him.
Even though Naeem resented his brother's change of heart, he decided to visit him in America.
I hopped on a plane and came to the U.S., and that's when I got confronted with Christianity.
3 weeks after arriving in the U.S., he went to see a movie with his brother. It was a Christian film.
Here I was confronted with this whole new concept or whole new religion, but it was more than a religion, you know? And in that movie, I realized that maybe there's something else out there.
Naeem was confused and began to question his Muslim faith.
So I remember just kind of praying, and I wouldn't even call it a prayer. It was just more of a, I don't know who's up there, if you're real, show me. After that, I had another conversation with my brother. He told me that this God who came down in the form of his son, Jesus, would pursue me and do whatever it takes to have a relationship with me. I remember making fun of him, and I said, well, you know, will he just come down if I just ask him? And my brother said, yes, if you would ask him, he'll come down. And I remember at that point, I went, this is ridiculous. But in my head, I was thinking, you know what? If this is true, then why don't you reveal yourself?
That night when he was going to sleep, he sensed what he describes as an evil presence filling his bedroom.
The door opened, and I looked up, and the room started to look really strange, more like death. I mean, what walked in was this demon, this thing that I couldn't even explain. So this thing starts walking towards me and somehow communicates that it's going to kill me. And it stopped right on my bed and just disappeared.
He ran down the hall to his brother's room.
He said, you know, the only person that I know has power over demons and angels is Jesus.
Naeem returned to his room.
I said, Jesus, I don't know who you are. I can't call you the Lord of my life. I can't call you, you know, Savior. I can't call you any of these things. Because at this moment, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I need help. But if you will help me, then I will give you my whole life. The next moment, I found myself sitting on my bed with my eyes open, staring into this presence. I can't even explain it. It was the presence of Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. This peace was so aggressive. It invaded every single thing, every part of me. And I felt like it communicated to me saying, your life is not your own. And I believed it.
He finally understood all that his brother was trying to tell him.
I wanted to do everything possible. So I think the first month or so, I must have prayed the sinner's prayer or accepted Jesus or said the prayer like about 8 or 9 times. Because I just wanted to do it. I just want to make sure.
When he was a Muslim, he learned the Quran and knew a lot about Allah, but didn't have a relationship with him.
It makes total sense now. It only makes sense that God would come in to us in the form of a man, a human, and to be able to relate to us, but also to redeem us, and to have a relationship with us.
In the years that followed, Naeem ministered to college students and met his wife, Ashley. They now have 2 beautiful children, Asher and Noura. Naeem challenges those in the Muslim faith to make a specific prayer if they really want to have a relationship with God.
When Muslims talk with me and we talk about our differences and why I converted, you know, my challenge to them is this. I said, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you consistently for a period of time, maybe take 2 weeks or so, and just sincerely seek this God, this just Jesus. He's able to take a person, radically transform them, and give them a purpose beyond their imagination. Because that's exactly what God did to me. God wants a relationship with them more than they do. And so God's going to pursue them. And all they need to do is just ask.
Powerful. Such a powerful, powerful testimony coming from CB. And you can actually see this at on the torch at VFNTV.com and click on the torch. This is what we're called to do. So it's actually a positive thing. When you start seeing Saul start coming your direction, realize, prepare yourself to be able to be a deliverer of the love of God.
Wow.
And you think about Stephen, you know, and Stephen was stoned to death and, you know, they laid his coat at Saul's feet as he was being stoned. He was only days away, hours away from meeting this God who Stephen saw the face of. And you have to understand, it's not that you do forever, because you don't live forever on this earth. You live forever in the presence of God. It's appointed once to die and then the judgment. The thing is, are we faithful in our generation? Do we do at the moment God has positioned us, because he orchestrates our life, as Acts chapter 17 says, and picks the day and the place and the time that we would live. And everything is Father filtered, that if that's you standing before a persecutor, before a Saul, you know, are you going to deliver the love of God to them? Or are you going to deliver religion? And Stephen delivered, just he literally went through the whole, and you can listen to that, read that one particular chapter in Acts, and he covers the entire word of God. And his last message was the full word of God. And that should be our message, the full word of God. But in that, he was about to die. He was about to be in the presence of God. And he was looking at the face of God. God, it's such an awesome moment of love, obviously, between God and Stephen, because they were surrounding him, trying to get him to renounce probably, you know, what he believed in. And God was so moved by that, that God showed him his face. I mean, how many people on the earth has walked on the earth and saw the face of God? And you can name them, you know, Enoch, Moses, and Jesus. And so it was like he was looking on the face of God, just this glory of God was on his face. And then he fell dead, and he was smiling while it was happening.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been hit by a rock before, but being stoned.
Hit by a tree once.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just, you know, and to be able to smile. I mean, Jesus was being nailed to a cross, and he says, hold not this sin against them. Forgive them, they know not what they do. And you know, God, give us a grace to just be that witness at that moment. I think about the Columbine shooting with the young girl who was in the library, and he pointed the gun at her head and said, you know, do you know Jesus?
Right.
Whatever. And she just openly professed, yes, I do know Jesus. And he shot her.
Knew what it cost.
That was like a Stephen encounter. That was a moment for her and God, that she is one of the precious martyrs who stood before God. But understand this. Now look beyond Stephen's death. Because he witnessed, because there was the word that does not return void was launched into the heart and the mind of this persecutor named Saul. He had to contend with it. And it was such a powerful message that the face of God that Stephen was seeing, that Saul was going to see it in a moment on his way to persecute more of the church. And God shows up in such a powerful way that the word in him confronted the word in his face, and in that convergence, he was confronted with Jesus is Lord.
Right.
He said, Lord, Lord, you know, and in that he began to say, you're persecuting me. That was me. That wasn't Stephen. That was me that you've done. You're fixing to go lock up and hurt people over here in Damascus. That's me. And because Stephen was faithful to do this, Jesus met Saul, this man named Saul. And he was willing to suffer anything. Even he ran to the chopping blocks. He was willing to be shipwrecked. He was willing to be bound and put in prison. I mean, he wrote right at 50% of the New Testament, letters from prison talking about freedom in God and being blessed in God and prosperity in God. But he's writing those from prisons. Those are the epistles written in prisons. I mean, this is a powerful thing. Why? Because Stephen understood what we need to understand in our life, that we're not called for this life alone, but we're called for the life beyond this. Don't live just for this life. Just like in marriage, when in 1 Corinthians chapter 17, when Paul is writing to the church, he's saying, listen, you know, if you are married, live like you're not, because time is short.
Mm-hmm.
Don't live like you're trying to live forever in this life. It's going to end. It could end tomorrow. It could end today. Be ready to go. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, but don't waste this opportunity to be somebody like Stephen or to be somebody like Saul, who got transformed to Paul, and he became a great apostle, a witness for God, and began to raise up spiritual sons and did this awesome work for God. But what happened was the word in him, sown by Stephen, confronted him on the way to Damascus, and now this persecutor became a promulgator and began to advance the kingdom of God. So Stephen's ministry, though he died and went into the presence of God, still lived on through the one who stoned him.
Mm-hmm.
Through the one who stoned him. Think about it.
Amazing.
Until you're willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. You're not ready, right?
Working on it.
And so in the context of that, I mean, think about it. Stephen's ministry went on. It transferred. The anointing transferred from Stephen to Saul. That's powerful.
Wow.
And so while he is in the presence of God as a martyr, I'm at one of the highest positions in heaven with, you know, for us, that his ministry continued on through his persecutor, who became a persecutor of Satan's church. He loved the Jews so much, he was willing to give anything for them. But he was called to the Gentiles. We're thankful today for Stephen's willingness to not be intimidated by those that were coming his way with a goal to persecute him. He still stood up. He still stayed a witness. He still stayed bold for God. And even though it cost him his life on here, on the earth, it did not cost him eternity, because he instantly was with the Lord. To be absent for the body is to be present with God. It's time to stand up and be a bold witness for God. And the Naims out there, they're going to find God, and they'll be just like Saul's, just like Paul.
Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop. With over 25 years of experience, no job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love, and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings, because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this, I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent, let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, 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 and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free, just go and request it at iabide.org, iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance, your eternity.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness. You know, be strong and be courageous. Realize, you know, that this life, I'm looking at this morning, and I'm realizing as I'm looking at the length of life that Adam had, you know, the first Adam, he lived 930 years. You know?
Wow.
Can you imagine 900?
No.
900. Happy birthday to you. Call the fire department. Happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine the candles on that puppy? And, you know, he lived 930 years. I mean, think about it, 930 years. You know, that's like 930 winters, 930 summers. Think about it. 930 everything, right? And then Seth, his son, lived 912 years.
Wow.
You think that's 1,842 years. That's 1,842 years between a father and a son. And it's only been 2,012 years since our Lord's ministry here on the earth. I mean, outside of 170 years, these two men lived as long as it's been since Jesus was ministry was here on earth. Isn't that something? You know, the nerve of us to even think, oh my goodness, it's like, dude, you know, come on. I mean, you think about it. I mean, that's 92% of the time, if you take all the days between now and the time that Jesus' ministry was here on earth, they lived 92% of those days in their life, in their lifespan. 92%. You know what I'm saying? We didn't expect you to draw Social Security this long.
He draw multiple Social Security.
Can you imagine, man? You're double dipping. No, you're triple dipping. You're triple dipping. You know, and when you think about it, you know, James lets us know that he says in James 4:14, he says, what is your life? You know, what is your life? He says, it's just like a vapor. It's like a mist that appears for a while and it just poof, you know, it vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think, is that right?
Yeah.
Or in Peter, when he writes, he says, do not forget this one thing, dear brothers. And he's like, don't forget this. He says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day.
Wow.
So Adam's life was like a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we are promised now, after the flood, we can max out. If we take our tachometer and we press the accelerator of our life when we eat Wheaties or something, you know, and we want to live to the very max, according to after the flood, it's 120 years. But God promises us 70 years.
Right.
And 80 years of strong, right? That's what he says in his word.
That's right.
He promises that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the mercies of God, is it not?
Yes.
I mean, look at the trouble we get in when you're 80 years.
First 300 years were good, right. But the last 300 was something else, man.
Lord, you should have took me out at my 400th birthday. And so you think about that. You know, our life being 70 or 80 years. So in other words, if you're beyond 70, and a lot of people are because we're so blessed, that is within the promises of God. But when you exceed 80 years old, I mean, you're living in this awesome, blessed state because God only promised us 70 or 80.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because of sin, he cut us off at 120 because he had to destroy everybody, you know, except Noah and all.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you think about that, then that means that our life compared to Adam's life is only 7 to 8%. That's how long our life is compared to Adam's life.
Mm.
Wow.
Think about it. We only live like 7 to 8% in that 70 to 80 years. Isn't that something? And we have the nerve. I mean, can you imagine? You know, Adam's going like, oh, get my auger. No, obviously, I mean, it was the beginning of the fall of man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did live in the fall of man. He had a few things to do with it.
He had a little issue.
A few little issues, but, you know, and if he wouldn't have eaten the apple, John would have. No, we all would have, right? We all would have. We've proven that out, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Applesauce. And then... So, and then he goes on to say right after that, talking about time, he says in 2 Peter 3:9, he says, understand time, get it right, get the right perspective. And you know, it helps you to understand God's response to us in our life. It's important because, you know, we're thinking, you know, God, haven't you done this yet? Or why have you done this too soon? and he says in 2 Peter 3:9, he says, the Lord is not slow to keep his promises. He's not slow. I mean, we're only living 7 to 8% of Adam's life. We shouldn't even use the word slow.
Right.
It's a vapor. We just got to crank it up and get it all in the short vapor that we have.
Right.
I mean, you think about it. How many times you could start again with Adam's life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, right. Man, we got moments, you know? We have moments to determine what we'll be able to lay before the Lord's feet in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord is not slow, he says, to keep his promises as some understand slowness.
Mm-hmm.
He is patient. Think about that. Is he not patient?
Oh, yeah. Very.
Do you want us to give you a moment, Pat?
Any reflection?
Soaking it in.
Right.
I mean, look how long he gave the Saints to win something. They won big time.
Right.
I think the bags are like in the seats now. Reach under your chairs and see what you get, the surprise. It's a bag.
It's worth the wait.
No, they're going to do it again. He is patient with us. He's a patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, this is so important when you think about perspective, that realize that despite how bad somebody's is right now, and even what they're saying and what they're doing, God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have to understand in the context of us encouraging them and sharing with them the love of God, and the desire of God to forgive them and bring them into relationship with him so they wouldn't die in their sins and be eternally separated from him. We have to be careful how we deliver that, because we're moving outside the will of God, you know, and his, we're not speaking for him when we're sitting here saying, you know, God's wanting to destroy you and you to die in your sins. That's not what he wants. And we think, you know, how long is this bad dude going to keep going for this long? And God's saying, you know, I'm going to give him some more time. You know, he's not slow as we would perceive slowness. He's actually, what he's saying, what Peter's saying is he's just saying, I'm being patient with him. I'm just being patient. And patient means, you know, I mean, you know, the epitome of patience is probably John Paul Ramos. But when you think about, when you think about, Teresa, I'll get back with you in a minute. She just texted me. You know, patience is enduring hardship and, you know, things getting in your way and difficulty without complaining. Isn't that beautiful? That this is actually a God calling. Because sometimes we just feel like it's our obligation. Isn't somebody going to complain about this? You're getting in my way of my plans, you know, versus just going, oh, cool. Obviously, somebody here is a sinner and God's giving you time to repent. So I'm not going to say nothing. Even though you destroyed my plans. And so it's important to be patient and long-suffering with those who have yet turned to God. It's just important to be that way. It's important to look somebody. You know, and so you're, this is one of Pat's favorite quotes from Rick Joyner, is, until you're willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. You know what I'm saying? That's the place we got to get to, because, you know, Jesus was willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating him. When they were nailing him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, of course, he's Jesus. So we get a little confused sometimes. Like, I know there has to be some contemplation in this, some premeditatedness, you know, in this thing. And that we, when we're being persecuted and when people are, you know, telling the truth or the forgiven truth about us or the lie about us, you know, that we can be patient in that and long-suffering and realize, you know, this is our time to be Stephen when we're being stoned. This is our time.
Right.
And we just say, you know, Father, boom, 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 boom. Because we're getting stoned, right? Forgive them. Hold not this sin against them. Yeah, this is like John. I mean, this is not, this is just, isn't it amazing?
That's so John.
You know, I just, we want you to interview his family as they get to experience all this patience and long suffering.
Everything I learned from Pat.
I would say God's still working on us in this. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want us to pray for patience for you, John?
Oh, no, that's okay.
Patience comes through his trials,
right?
Yeah, I
did that once.
Yeah, right. You remember that?
Operative word was once, right?
Yeah, once, right. I'm okay with the pace I'm moving at. But the, just the perspective of things and understanding that if we grasp, it's for an audience of one.
Right.
You know, it wasn't for an audience of two with Adam and Eve. Obviously, they found out. When the audience that was their audience at the time was God, and next thing you know, they were actually entertaining themselves in the context of Satan, Eve, and Adam, and they weren't even thinking about God. You know, they were talking about him, but they weren't thinking about that they were living for an audience of one, until he started strolling in the garden the next day, and they realized, oh my goodness, he's our audience. He's, his eyes are on us. He's coming, you know, and they start hiding behind, you know. I mean, the first bushes, you know, the first shrubbery, the first, you know, vegetation that was created on the face of this earth was used to hide behind. You think about it. You know, and when you get the right perspective in this, that you don't have to hide anymore. They were hiding because they lived their life not realizing that it was for God they should have been living, not for man. Because all their horizontal arguments made no vertical sense.
Right.
You know, so when God shows up, it's like, oh my goodness. You know. Yeah, right. Exactly, you know. And it's like, I mean, you know, Adam looks at Eve, is like, "You ain't got no clothes on." And she says, "Don't look at me. Don't look at me." And all of a sudden, they felt so ashamed because they were living their life, you know, for that moment and for themselves. But they realized it was for God when God showed up.
That's right.
And when we live it for God, we don't run and hide from God. We run to God. Mm-hmm. And we're glad to see him and we understand the cross and all. But understanding the perspective of time, that, you know, we just have a vapor to be able to live our life for God.
That's right.
It's a very short, I mean, it's amazing how short it gets, mm-hmm. you know, and that as time passes, it's just like, you got to grab it and force it to be in compliance with fruitfulness and destiny. And it's like everything pulls at you to say, no, go to sleep, you know, be induced by this world and just go into a slumber and, you know, the right. God of entertainment or just, you know, just staring at a wall, you know,
right.
you know, reading a book that instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to spend eternity with God. Although my life is only 7 to 8% of what Adam's life is, I will spend eternity with Adam, with God forever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'll have to remember what I did with this vapor. Now Adam had 1,000 almost.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and he's going to look at us and just go, you know, you had 7%. You had 7%. Could you not last that long? Could you not tarry for 7% of my life?
Right.
Could you not tarry? I mean, look at all the stuff you did at 7 and 8%. You could have just got up, been born. You could have walked easily before God, done things that was right, trusted in God. You've had the grace of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You could have done this thing.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's going to be embarrassing, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
And then that's Pat, and we'll be behind him in the line.
We told him when he was listening to VFN Radio. He was there.
Yeah, we told him. Yeah. You know, so John and I were just like, we hope we could stand in line behind Pat. We're going to hear God. It was your fault. It was your fault.
Yes, you're right.
You're right. Well, praise God. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an N something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee
mm-hmm.
while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The Muslim Brotherhood, we're talking about the caliphate, we're talking about Sharia,
yeah.
We're talking about how over 100 mosques were surveyed and how 81% of those mosques were distributing violent texts, you know, violent readings,
oh, wow.
booklets, information
mm-hmm.
to their congregants.
Wow.
And we don't want Sharia.
Mm-mm.
You know, but the church has to repent. I mean, we have
That's
choice.
Right.
I guess you know, there's a choice is available.
That's right.
But we got to turn back to God. You know, mm-hmm. we have to honor the Lord. We got to honor the Lord in our life every day, in our marriages, in our family, in our personal walk.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get the sin out. We can't give God lip service. We got to give him our hearts.
That's right.
And so, and maybe we can hold on to this wonderful nation, this beautiful country that the mm-hmm. Lord has given us, and we can walk this thing out together. But if you don't have the Constitution, you know, the country is a republic, and mm-hmm. when the founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they were very aware of what a democratic government would be like. These guys weren't ignorant.
Right.
If you notice, I mean, it is the longest Constitution. It actually has only 4,400 words, Pat.
Uh-huh.
4,400 words, and it's the longest, like I said, living Constitution in the world today.
Right,
and it's held our nation together. I mean, and it's just amazing.
It's powerful.
But if we don't know that, even in our pledge, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag, the United mm-hmm. States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. So you know that the word democracy is not found once in the Constitution?
Really?
It's not found even once.
Oh, wow.
And the difference is that a republic government basically upholds, it's a representative government,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the representative government, it upholds the Constitution. That's what they uphold the Constitution. They mm-hmm. their powers and what they can do. We represent. We can't go to Washington D.C. We got lives. We work. We do all this other stuff. We can't go, but we elect a representative for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the king. They're spending money, you know, to get to interview for the job, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we vote. We select. We hire. You know, our elected officials to go and represent us.
Mm-hmm.
And their powers are limited because we have a republic.
Right.
And they're limited because they're there to uphold the Constitution. They're there to, in fact, when they take their oath, they mm-hmm. take their oath to defend the Constitution, to uphold the Constitution.
That's right.
So it's interesting when our president goes to another country and gives a speech and says that his job is to defend negative stereotypes of Islam and Muslims around. It's like, no.
No, that's not what we hired you for.
No, it's not what we hired you for. And
mm-hmm.
it's important. It's important because now you have, you have Michelle Bachmann, who, mm-hmm. you know, was the first one to really start looking into this, that the Secretary of State, which is the third most powerful person in the Obama administration, mm-hmm. you got the president, you got the vice president, and you have the secretary of state.
That's right.
And she was just selected as the second most powerful woman in the world, I believe, for the second time. And her assistant,
mm-hmm.
Uma Abedin,
mm-hmm.
she has, her father was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Her mother was a part of the sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
And all Michelle Bachmann asked, it was that, you know, how was there any clearance done for this? Was there mm-hmm. any kind of connection? And you know, you had people and I mean you even had some other senators and congressmen, and she wasn't alone. There were others that joined with her. She wasn't mm-hmm. like making this lone, you know, statement on her own. There were others who joined her, but there were others that came against her. And we have to
mm-hmm.
get behind our elected representatives.
Right,
they're representing us. Is that something that maybe you would have asked the same question? But since
right.
you couldn't ask in person, she asked for you.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
That's right.
She asked for you. And you have to have a level of clearance. It's like, wait a second, what is happening? What is going on?
Right.
And so when you have a republic that wants to uphold the Constitution, That's an important thing. It's a representative government. But a democracy is different. A democracy, a democratic government, is a government that rules by the majority. Mm-hmm. Well, hello, if you're in the minority,
yeah.
If you're in the minority, this is not going to go well for you. And what the Republic does is that it protects those who are a minority. It makes sure that their rights are not going to be infringed upon. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at it, if we had a democratic government, you could see where through migration alone, that's why the Constitution is mm-hmm. so important. There can be a twisting if you have a whole bunch of people that want a certain thing to happen. Then with a democracy, a democratic form of government that way, then they can literally change things overnight.
Right.
And it could be a total infringement on the rights of those who are not in the majority. Mm-hmm. So it's so, you know, when you get a full perspective and a full understanding of what is happening, mm-hmm. and I'm telling you, we cannot afford anymore to be ignorant and not know. We have to know. And it's not just about Americans or, you know, it's really all stems from the church.
That's right.
You know, as the church goes, so goes the nation and the world, really.
That's right.
And so we just have to repent and turn back to God.
Amen.
And make God the center of our lives again. We got to, you know, turn back, journey back. There's a wonderful segment on the VFN Torch called Journey Back. You got to listen to that. But it's about journeying back to the ways of God. Journeying back to the ways of God.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. AB Mobile Mechanics. Fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps. On-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Pat, you know, I think back before I even knew God, God was just beginning to draw himself to me. And I was hungry for God before I even knew I was even hungry for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to tradition, going through that hour a week that I had been raised upon, but I knew I wanted more.
Right.
You know, and when God called me and I met his son, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
God really changed my life. Yeah. He touched my heart and he encountered my whole life and he drew me into the VFN family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so powerful. It was so amazing to see other Christians who I'd never seen before, people who just cast their every burden and every care on Jesus. And the coolest thing was, is that people that I could relate to, because for the longest time, you want to share your problems with people, but there was nobody there who was, that was close enough to you that you could really talk to and be transparent with.
Right.
You know, I want to encourage you that if you're listening right now and you want to just connect with people who are just real, who they themselves have problems, you know, we look to Jesus in everything. Mm-hmm. And if you feel that God's just really beginning to speak to your heart and just draw you to himself, I want to encourage you to go to vfnfamily.org.